Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
So I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are in the house this morning and to those that are watching online as well. I hope that you feel honored today and that you are celebrated. So let's dive into what I believe God has given us to hear this morning. And I say us because I'm also in need of this word. I know it's an important word because the enemy's been at my doorstep all weekend. I had vertigo, I had migraine. I just knew that he was trying to not have me be here this morning. And I just kept saying, Lord, I know you have a word and I need to be there. And so I'm just counting on you, Lord. I'm counting on you, Lord. And before the morning first service, I was like even shaky on my feet. And I just said, Lord, rise up in me. Your strength is in me. And I can do this because of who you are. And so I got through that okay. So we can just go ahead this morning. Today I'm going to be talking about our need to have a holy fear of the Lord. And so what does fear of the Lord even mean? What does that look like? First, let me tell you what it's not. And it's not being afraid of God. So many people have a skewed view of what the Father looks like. The world often sees him as a heavy-handed judge, as a joy killer. He doesn't want us to have a good time, as somebody to fear. But that's not the heart of the Father for us. And so we often think of fear as a negative thing, don't we? Something that makes us anxious, it gets our heart pumping, makes us want to avoid stuff, like speaking in front of people. But fear of something impending for some people can bring a crazy amount of anxiety. And for some people, fear can even become so strong it becomes a phobia in their life. But fear can actually be a healthy thing too. And it can keep us safe from things. The fear of going too close to the edge and falling off of a cliff will keep us from doing so. The fear of being struck by another car will keep us from driving down a one-way street, right? There is a fear, however, this morning that eradicates and that can destroy all other fear. And that's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the desire to not offend God, as well as the certainty that he will supply the grace we need in order to keep from offending him. He gives us what we need to please him. The fear of God is about giving him our undivided attention, an undivided heart, giving him our allegiance and our loyalty before everything else. It's having an unrivaled awe of who he is. It's also being open to the instruction of the Lord, which sometimes hurts. It's having a deep appreciation for who he is, a reverence and a commitment to obey him, and to have a hope that is unfailing, because he is unfailing. Proverbs 9:10 actually tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of the Holy One, because he is understanding. We were teaching the kids recently in our midweek program about what the kingdom of God looks like. And we were explaining to them how the kingdom of God is often described as upside down or backwards or in reverse compared to the way the world is, right? And when we have a fear of the Lord, there's a dying to ourself. There's an abandoning of our will and trusting him with his. The world would tell us we do what makes us happy, that we look out for number one first. But in God's kingdom, it's the exact opposite. Having a fear of the Lord is laying down your life in surrender to him. It can be hard. Sure, most of us are willing to surrender to him, but are we willing to surrender all of the areas? Are we willing to surrender the places in our heart that we're just not sure of? that bring us fear. When it comes to the fear of the Lord, I think the church is really lacking. We've gotten caught up in our church culture. We go to church Sundays, we worship God if we're feeling like it, if it's the songs we like. We sing songs sometimes without even thinking of what we're singing to Him. We serve maybe during the week, we've got all the Christian lingo down, we're saying all the right things, but yet we're walking through life powerless without that intimacy with Him. And without a reverence in the awe of who He is. We choose to live life in our own terms. We do it in our own strength, the way we want to do things. And then we come and we say prayers and demands almost in Jesus' name and expect Him to move on our behalf the way we think it should look like. That's not the fear of the Lord, folks. That's using God like a vending machine to get what we want. You know, I used to always read about the Israelites and think, wow, they were stubborn and moronic. God did so much for them. He came through time after time, and yet they still didn't trust Him. They didn't have a reverence for who He was. And yet, the Lord showed me that's what the church is like. That's what we're like. He does so much for us, and we forget so quickly. Back in Exodus, Moses led the Israelites out of slavery. And the Israelites were living a life that was full of defeat, that was difficult. They were abused with stripes on their back. They were in slavery. They weren't living in freedom. They were working all their lives for somebody else's inheritance. And in Exodus 9, God tells Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh and tell him, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." There's something that John Bevere said once that really caught my attention. When Moses finally escaped with the Israelites, where did he take them? He didn't take them to the promised land first. He took them to the wilderness to worship God, to seek His face first, to meet His gaze. So if you're going to hear anything this morning, hear this. It took Moses, the Israelites, to the promised land before taking them to the promiser. Then they would have made the promised land a place of idolatry. That's what they were known for. God knew they needed to seek Him first. God knew that they needed an encounter with Him first. So Moses takes them to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up on the mountain to encounter God. And in Exodus 19, God tells Moses to go back down and tell the people, "The whole reason that I've delivered you out of Egypt was to bring them to me." Yes. You see, God had called them to be kingdom priests, to be a holy nation, and to be set apart for Him. That's us, folks. We're called to be royal priesthoods. We're called to set ourselves apart for Him. That's why we're born, to worship Him. That's what we're missing today, isn't it? We trudge through life and we kind of put God in a box and relegate Him to Sundays. We don't want to give up the idols that we put before Him in our lives. The church today, I believe, has become ineffective in a lot of ways because we're not setting ourselves apart for Him. We're letting too many other things come first before Him. In verse 10, God told Moses to go down to the people and consecrate them for today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. God is holy. And God was coming to appear to the Israelites in a spectacular way. And they needed to prepare themselves and be ready. Before they came before His presence, they needed to wash off the filth of Egypt. What filth are we carrying around with us? There's hurts, there's anger, resentment. There's so many things that we carry, disappointment with God. We need to be washing off that filth before we're coming into his presence and seeking his face. When God finally comes close to them, what do the Israelites do? They keep their distance. They're afraid. The God of the universe wants to meet with them, and they just want to run away. They actually said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die." And I said in the first service, that's us. A lot of the time, we'll let preachers speak to us. We'll listen to what they want, throw away the parts we don't want, glean from the parts we do want, or that we're willing to let God in. But we don't want to be quiet before the Lord and let him speak to us. Because I think sometimes there's a fear of what he's going to ask us to do or give up. Moses' response to their fear was this: do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. So that tells me that there's a grace that God gives us to keep us from sinning when we have a fear of him. It's God's grace and only God's grace that has the power to teach us to turn from ungodliness, to renounce our selfish desires. You can't muster enough in your own ability. And even if you do, it's not lasting. That's why we need the intimacy with him. If we're not developing a fear of the Lord, we haven't really set ourselves apart. We can't be living our lives on our own terms and coming to God when we gather on Sundays and expecting him to pour out all his benefits and his blessings on us, to speak to us with a word when we haven't been listening all week, to relegate spending time in his manifest presence just to Sundays. His presence is meant for us every day, every hour. It is in you when you receive Christ in your heart. You just call it up in you. The Lord has been laying on my heart since COVID that for our church and the church in general, that we need to have the fear of the Lord. We need a revelation of who he is. Because when we understand who he is, how we see ourselves changes. I shared last Mother's Day with you about how when we went to Summit in Edmonton in 2020, the Lord gave me an intense revelation of his love for me. I've grown up in the church. I've loved Jesus my whole life. I knew that he loved me. I didn't always feel that he loved me because I didn't feel worthy of it. But the Lord has just increased that and increased that and increased that over the last couple of years. It's marked my life and it's changed me. It's changed how I view him. It's changed how I view myself. It's changed how I worship him. I'm just over there swaying and dancing and raising my hand. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care if people think I look stupid. I don't care. Because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. He made such a sacrifice. Is it really that hard for me to praise him? No. We need a revelation of him, of what he wants to do in your life. God has been changing and shifting our church over the last few years, and I can't get past this sense that he has so much more for us. He's waiting for us to draw near, folks, so that he can draw near to us. Because he will. We have to be willing. When we're walking in a place of intimacy with him, and we're choosing to live our lives in a way that pleases him, we're not in fear when life comes to knock us over, because it does. And we're not thrown anymore because we know who he is and we know who we are. When we're allowing God to reframe us and redefine us, our capacity to understand what he is saying actually grows. Let me say that again. When we're allowing God to reframe us, to redefine who we are, because we have some messed up thoughts about ourselves. Yeah. The enemy just wants to come and whisper lies in you and make you feel defeated. Let the Lord redefine you, because your capacity to understand what he's saying to you will continue to grow if you do. Amen. When we have a healthy fear of God, there is no longer any room for fear. We go to a place of trust. Yes. And instead of asking why, Lord, why my family, why me? We start to ask, what do you want to be for me in this season that you couldn't be for me in any other season? What is it that you're trying to say to me? Right? Sometimes I just think, like, if we just laid ourselves bare before the Lord, asked him to speak to us, like, what's happening, Lord? What's going on? You can ask the right questions and he'll answer you. We could probably deal with things a little bit faster and get out of the situations we're in a lot quicker. Right? The Israelites were not good at trusting the Lord. They weren't walking in a reverential fear of God. They were stubborn, and they kept doing things their own way. Sound familiar? And what was the result for the Israelites? This blows my mind. Every time I think about this, this blows my mind. It never gets old. What was the result? Was that an 11-day journey took 40 years. 40! Not 11 days, 40. Because we're stubborn. Because we don't listen. He is waiting to speak to us. We just need to put ourselves before him. The problem with the Israelites was that they didn't believe in the reliability, the truth, or the ability of the Lord. They were not able to put their hope in him. And church, our words, with our words we say we believe, but then our actions and our life shows otherwise, doesn't it? We come to church, we get pumped up, we're like, yes, 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 he's good, he's strong, he's with all these things. And then we get home and we start fading out. And then all that fear comes back in again, doesn't it? I love how Graham Cook puts this. He says, he has put you into Jesus. He has located us in a place that guarantees and generates a confident expectation. You can be confident in your expectation of Jesus. He's worthy of it. Here's the thing, our holy fear grows proportionately to our comprehension of how great he is. Our holy fear grows proportionally to our comprehension of God's greatness. If you don't understand who he is, you are not going to be able to worship him the way you need to worship him. You are not going to be able to walk through life the way you need to be walking through life if you don't understand who he is. Now, the opposite, unfortunately, is also true. We will actually dumb down God's greatness, even to the point of human limitations, the less we fear him. If you're feeling like there's no anointing on your life, it's because there's an absence of the fear of the Lord. Ouch, right? If you're having a hard time accessing his presence, you don't have a fear of the Lord. And by the way, God won't manifest himself in a place where there's no respect for him. That's why we pour out our worship so strongly on Sundays. Psalm 24 says to him, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify the Lord and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Exalt the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. If I took a magnifying glass, what does it do? It magnifies an object, right? It doesn't make the object any bigger. It just changes how we see the object. It makes it bigger to us, right? You can't make God any bigger than he already is. There's nothing he can't do. But when our eyes are focused on other things, on our circumstances, we're not seeing how great God is. We're seeing how big the mountain is in front of us. When we magnify him, then we're seeing how great the King of Kings is. And we're seeing things in the supernatural rather than the natural. Because it's easy to have our eyes down here. Our eyes need to be up here. Because that's the truth over our lives. I tell the kids all the time, you do not have to believe everything you feel or you hear in your mind, you think. It's not truth over your life. We have to weed those out. So the evidence of the fear of God in your life is that you delight in obeying God's commandments. You find joy in obedience, even if it produces suffering. Let's be honest, we don't like suffering. I don't like suffering. This weekend, I was not happy with suffering. When the world was spinning, I was not happy with suffering, right? But I kept declaring Jesus over my body, and I knew that he would give me the strength to get here Sunday. No matter how hard the devil was trying to discourage me, I knew that God is bigger in me, right? The evidence of God, the fear of God in your life, is you obey immediately, even if obeying doesn't make sense. I was sharing this morning in the first service how Pastor Jay and I had to be obedient to the Lord in our move here. It was a struggle for us this time, and it's never been before because nothing was working out. We weren't able to find a house we could afford. The houses we were looking at were brutal. I didn't have a job. There were so many things. We loved where we were. I liked my job. He loved his job. The kids were happy. I was taking Seth midway through high school at a high school. It just, on paper, it didn't make sense, right? But we knew God was in it. And we were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I got so frustrated one day. I finally looked at Jane and said, "Look, do you think God wants us to go there?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then call them and tell them we will go and preach the call. Because I can't do this anymore." I'm going nuts, right? We just got to take a step of faith sometimes. It's scary, but do you trust him? Because he's not going to let you fall. And even if you did, he'd pick you up. He's not going to leave you where you're at. The other thing is you obey to completion, which means not just the parts that you're comfortable with or that you're willing to be stretched in. The fear of God will make you be willing to be stretched because you know you're going to come out so much brighter. When we're not walking in the fear of the Lord, we're actually creating a cheaper Jesus. Right? The sacrifice he paid was huge. We can't cheapen that by what we're comfortable with. Now, I don't want you to leave here today feeling discouraged or like a weight's been placed on you. And mothers, I get that you often feel like there's so many demands on you, that the intimacy and the fear of the Lord is just something else that we're piling on you now, that you need to get right. It's not true. Well, actually, it is true in your own strength. Can't do it in your own strength. In fact, striving is actually the counterfeit of yielding. How many of us get stuck with trying? I try not to snap at my husband when I'm hangry. I try not to yell at my kids when they annoy me. Right? It doesn't work last. It's not lasting. We're not meant to be striving. All we're meant to do is to yield to him and to be in him. He's placed us in Jesus. Rest in there. Because when you do that, those changes just come automatically. And by the way, you'll know when you're not walking with him as closely because all those things start creeping back. Right? Moms, take the moments you do have. Talk to him, worship him, ask him to draw near to you while you're doing your things over your kids, while you're doing the dishes, while you're doing the laundry, all the things. And before you start your day, just offer your day up to him. Ask his manifest presence to be with you. to lead you, to guide you, to give you wisdom, to give you patience. Give him permission every day to redefine and reframe who you are. As you grow in God, your capacity to understand what he's saying to you actually grows. He's speaking to you, I promise he's speaking to you. It just, we're not always listening. We miss it. But when we're on his frequency, we hear those things. We're open to those changes, right? For the one who's facing crushing disappointment this morning, I've been there before. You have to learn to let it pass through. It's not yours to carry. You need to rebuke it even. And stand on the word and what his promises say for your life. Don't look at it in the natural. Look at it in the supernatural. Pressure is a real thing. But just like fear, it's not always a bad thing. Pressure can make us very easily misinterpret the season we're in. Sometimes I feel like the church nowadays wants to blame the enemy for everything. Oh, the enemy's at me for this. The enemy's, I know I said that this morning. I really do believe that was an attack this weekend, 100%. But I'm talking about all little things. You know, the devil made me do it. Don't, he doesn't have that power over you. Don't give him that power over you. When you're feeling pressure, it's something that can be really overwhelming. But when you're submitted to the lordship of Jesus and you have a friendship with God, you're in relationship with Jesus, you can adequately ask questions to God and understand what he's doing. How many of us, when we're in the middle of a situation, really stop and say, okay, Lord, what's happening? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to be for me in this? Because he doesn't promise to take everything away. He just promises to be there with you through it. Amen. We need to actually look at those situations and rejoice in them because he is building you. There's actually fruits of pressure. There's perseverance, consistency. God can even bring things out of you that he's put in you that you don't even know are there. I never honestly would have thought I'd be a pastor. I was good with being a pastor's wife. I even with kids, like I love kids and I love doing it, but I never thought it's something I would be doing. God had that in me and I didn't know it. But I was willing to step out in it. And I was scared, I'm not gonna lie. There's teachers, principals, everything in this school. I'm just like, oh goodness gracious, what is he calling me to do here? I love it, and I know he's called me to it. We just need to approach the Father differently, guys. Jesus actually taught his disciples to come before him with reverential fear. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." It doesn't have to be some grand gesture and all dramatic. You don't have to be bawling your eyes out. You know, some people are like, that's just emotional. It's about a heart posture. It's not difficult to find intimacy with him. If you draw near to the Father, he will draw near to you. Yes. It's that easy. You don't have to come with all the right words. You just have to draw near to him. Those moments are beautiful. And sometimes it's like a couple minutes. I'm just like, okay, just soaking him in. And then I'm like, man, I don't even know what he showed me, what he taught me, anything. But all of a sudden, I'm ready to go on with my day. I'm feeling strong. It's his presence. Yes. We go hard after the presence here. I know some people aren't always comfortable with it. But the thing is, we won't stop. His presence is where transformation comes. The word is important, don't get me wrong. We need to be reading his word, but it's the Holy Spirit that makes that alive to us when we're reading it, right? His presence is what can move mountains. Seek him first. He's your strength, he's your portion. He's your deliverer. You just have to let him be those things to you. If the worship team can come on up. It's the presence of God that will transform your life. Do you want transformation this morning? I just want him to transform me. We need to be reading in his word and learning, but it's the presence that we need. 1 minute in his presence can break chains that have bound people for years. Do you understand that? That power that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of you. All you have to do is call it up. I didn't have strength this morning. Like I said, before the first service, I'm like, I don't even know if I can stand the whole time. I'm feeling so weak. And I just said, Lord, you're in me. Rise up in me. Give me the strength I need to get this done. And he did. And I was able to stand and worship a lot more in the second service and feel stronger because that's who he is. We only have to ask him. If you're here this morning and you feel stirred to repentance, to a hunger for more of the Lord, for more of the fear of the Lord, I want you to stand up with me and take a posture of surrender as the band plays. Father, I just pray right now that your manifest presence would come and wash over us this morning. We repent, Lord, of not allowing you to be Lord in our lives, of not having the reverential fear that you deserve. Show yourself this morning, Lord. Bring revelation to our hearts. Each and every one needs a revelation from you this morning, Lord. We are hungry for you. We want more of your presence, Lord. We want to know how to please you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.